This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
Do you know that I was trained to never get up as a pastor and say that I've been sick and I went to the doctor or I had an operation? I was told not to do that because something wrong with your faith. If you got sick, something wrong with you. You ain't living right. If you got cancer, you ain't living right. Oh, if you had to go to the hospital, something wrong. I can't tell you what that's one of the biggest lies, I was going to say misconception, lies I've ever heard. You remember that thing in John chapter 9, verse 1, when the boy who was born blind, and the first thing they said, who sinned that this boy was born blind? You or the parents? The first thing they thought, that anytime go wrong, you did something to make it happen. And so now people are afraid to be real about certain things because something must be wrong.
Calling all world changers and those who have been changed by the message of grace. It's homecoming time. We've been on the road spreading the gospel, and now it's time to bring it home. That's right. Grace Life 2023 Homecoming is upon us and will be an experience like no other. We are inviting the entire World Changers Nation home July 13th through the 15th at the World Dome in College Park, Georgia. Welcome home, World Changers.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by His grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
Look at Colossians chapter 1 and 13. In the King James and in the NLT, this is the believer's standard before God is not, it can't be changed, and man does not contribute the least towards that. I am the righteousness of God right now. I remember, you've heard me testify this over and over again, I was in a counseling session, this guy was talking about how he says, I smoke weed all the time. I said, well, you want to be delivered? He says, not really. And then things started changing a little bit. And he says, yeah, I do. I said, well, let God do it. He says, what do I do? And I told him, and he laughed at it. I said, well, do you believe you're the righteousness of God? Can you accept that? He says, yes, I receive it. I said, well, go ahead and start declaring your stance. I am the righteousness of God. He says, okay. I said, so right now you still have a desire to do that. He says, yeah. I said, so if that desire kicks in and you decide to smoke some weed while you're picking it up, say, I'm the righteousness of God. He's like, what? See, because we've taught, ain't you a hypocrite? And that's, you know, it's like, oh. Anyway. And so I said, just do it. And he says, well, what if I put it in my mouth? I say, well, before you put it in your mouth, say, I'm the righteousness of God. He says, well, what if I light it up? I said, well, just say, I'm the righteousness of God. He just thought, this is ridiculous. He says, well, what if I smoke it? I said, well, when you blow it and the smoke comes out, say, I'm the righteousness of God. So he thought that was ridiculous. He didn't understand this power of the stance. He did that, and he'd been doing that so much. So one day he picked it up and he said, I'm the righteousness of God. Lit his fire, and he said, wait a minute. I don't even want this. Huh. God been working in it. I'm the righteousness of God. For real. What happens to us, we want to achieve the thing first and then say what the stance says. Instead of receiving the stance first, and it helps your life state achieve or come up to the place of what you can see. It's like, here's the goal, and you reach that goal, and it didn't even require much of your effort, more than your belief in what Jesus says you are, and then now you're balanced in what you were saying. I wish somebody would have told me this. I just thought, well, I'm just going to hell. Somebody say, you're holy. Yeah, whatever. You don't know what I did last night. And what you don't understand is God knows you're nothing but dust. Please understand that. The little stuff you're trying to blow off for everybody else to believe, God knows the truth. He know you are hell-deserving, no good for nothing sinner that deserves hell. He already know that. That's why he decided to give you a gift and put the Holy Ghost in you, because you need help. You can't do this yourself. He says, I'm going to work in you because you can't do this yourself. I done seen the last 30 years of your life, and it's a mess. You need me. Even though you don't know you need me, you need me. You ain't going to be able to make it without me. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and call the end at the very beginning. So if you die in the midst of the process, I got you covered. And if you stay there, I got you covered. But either way, I got you covered. But religion always puts some kind of law-based requirement on you. Think about it. Every religion in the world says you got to give up something to get something. That means there ain't no gift. Because if you got to give up something to get something, that's not a gift. That's something you've earned. That's something you've deserved. And that is exactly against what the grace of God is. I think we got, somewhere along the line, we just got too high strung. We just walked around and thought, you know, I'm strong, I have faith, and when I apply my faith, things are going to happen. Hey, I don't have no problem with that, but the reality is, you're still a jerk on the inside, and you need God. And there's some jerky things that you've been trying to deal with all your life. And so what we do, rather than understanding how to allow God to deal with this, we make it a secret now. And then we deny stuff that's really there, and you cover it up with religious acting. And you go around and you're like, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And you're molesting kids. And you're acting like that doesn't exist. And you need help right there. You need God to help you right there. But you hiding in the dark. You put a cover over you, and all we get is a false identity. We never really get to know the real you, because you've covered up the real you. And false identity produces, you know, false intimacy, and everything about you is false. And when the cover's finally removed, you're scared, because finally, you get to know who you are. Some of you get lost in the lie. And God's just saying, you ain't got to lie to me. I know you.
That's good, Pat.
I know you. Just accept my stance. Accept that you're righteous. Accept you're redeemed. Accept the stance. So I can go to work to cause it to be a reality. And you can finally express in genuine authenticity the righteousness of God. That's what he's saying. But we've perfected phoniness so much in the church, I tell you, it's pitiful. It's pitiful. It's hard to bring yourself to trust a Christian, because you don't know what kind of Christian that is. Is that a lying Christian or a genuine Christian? What is that? Get real. You know what freaks me out? Just can I be honest with you? Can I tell you what freaked me out? Those parents that get up there and proclaim their children are perfect, flawless, ain't never been no problem. You lying. And then I'm sitting up here feeling inferior. Well, I suck as a parent. You know, because I'm looking at you. Oh, you're all of this. You ain't never had no problem. And I'm thinking like, dang, never? I'm thinking I got like millions. What are you talking about? I'm trying to figure out every move I make, is it the right one? Oh my God, this and that, stuff like that. And I'm like, and now I'm trying to strive for something that ain't real. Sure, every parent has a challenge, because you're raising up a kid. You have a challenge. I just wish we would get real, please. But you're afraid to do that because of the standard by which religion has decided to judge you by. And it's not a standard that God is working in you
We still judge people that we hadn't seen in 20 years. We judge them where they used to be in our lives as if they had made no progress. And they probably not nowhere near what they used to be. You probably the same, but they probably nowhere near what they used to be. Why do we do that? It makes it uncomfortable being around Christian people knowing that they can't even figure out how to be honest with who they are. And it's putting pressure on everybody else to try to come up to this unrealistic, fake standard that you're sharing with everybody in testimony form. So that's the first thing I don't like. The second thing I don't like is the number of people who hear from God so often. I'm like, wow, I'm the preacher, and and it just makes it difficult, it makes it unreal, it makes it as if it's a joke, it makes it as if it's a circus, and you can kind of wonder why people just don't want to have to do with this spooky stuff. They're weird Christians. They're weird Christians. They try to get close to you by manipulating spiritual gifts. The Lord told me something about you. You want to hear it? Meet me at my house at 11 o'clock. I'm not coming to your house at 11 o'clock, you weirdo. I don't even know you. I don't care how many times God speaks to you. I'm not coming to your house at 11. But you know what? Some weak Christians will. Oh, they have a word for me. I'll go. No, just, no, they're weird. Something's not right. The Lord told me to tell you that you're supposed to give me $1,000 every day. I know you. You ain't heard from the Lord. I mean, wake up, folks. Just think. Sometimes inferiority can be disguised by superiority. It's fake superiority. But they got to do something about their own inferiority. So what they end up doing is try to act more superior than you do to cover up the inferiority complex that they have in their own lives. I'm like so over all of that. I'm just so over all of it. I don't, you know, some guy comes up trying to prophesy to me. I'm like, hey, keep it. Just, I don't want it right now. Yeah, but you need to hear this. I'll be fine. Just, in fact, just keep it. Don't give it to me. I don't want it. Just keep it. But the Lord said you need to have it. Just keep it. I don't want it. I'll ask him about it when I pray tonight. Just keep it. I don't want it. Because you might tell me something that just may introduce some fear in my life because I'm thinking about what you said. Just keep it, because I can tell the condition. You're trying to force it on me. You're getting mean. Your attitude's changing. And it won't be long before you cussing me out. You better receive what this blank, blank property I'm trying to give you. I don't want it. I don't want it because you're playing church so much. I just don't want it. I don't know you. I think God knows enough people that are in my holiest of holies that he can use them. Why does he have to use some dude who's weird to make me meet you at your house at 11 o'clock to get some word that I could probably get while I'm reading the Bible? I just don't want to do it. I don't want to play church anymore. I don't want to play church no more. I don't want to play church. I don't want to have no circus no more. I want to get into what's real. I want to get into what's authentic. Do you know that I was trained to never get up as a pastor and say that I've been sick and I went to the doctor or I had an operation? You know, I was told not to do that because something wrong with your faith. If you got sick, something wrong with you. You ain't living right. If you got cancer, you ain't living right. Oh, if you had to go to the hospital, something wrong. I can't tell you what that's one of the biggest lies, I'm gonna say misconception, lies I've ever heard. You remember that thing in John chapter 9, verse 1, when a boy who was born blind, and the first thing they said, who sinned that this boy was born blind? You or the parents? The first thing they thought. Then anytime go wrong, you did something to make it happen. And so now people are afraid to be real about certain things because something must be wrong. Because if you were really a man of faith, you would have never gotten cancer. You would have never had to have an operation. I am a real man of faith. But real men of faith sometimes have a thorn in their flesh. And Paul said, God, move this thorn out of my flesh. And he said, ask three times. And God said, I'm not moving the thorn. I'm not moving the trouble. I'm not putting out the fire. I'm not taking the lions out the den. You're going to go through this until you know that my grace is sufficient for you. You're going to go through this until you can learn how to be strong when you're weak. You didn't see me the last 3 years getting up here complaining about what I was going through. You didn't see me the last 3 years get up here talking about, oh, y'all need to pray for me. You didn't get up here and down. No. I just kept on preaching. I went out of town and preached with boils on me. I just put a big shirt on and went ahead and preached. Why? Because I had to know that when I am weak, he is strong. Difference is not that something happened, but how you came out. Can you say that he is a deliverer? Yes. Can you say that he is a healer? Yes. Can you say that he's a waymaker? Yes. Can you say that he's a financier? Yes. Amen. Can you say that he's a God that sits high and looks low? Say you are healed. Yes. Because he brought my state up to my stance. And now I know. He said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, to this mountain and kill him. Oh, Abraham must have did something wrong. Yeah. And he got up there, and he says, I trust God. Yeah. This looked like a crazy situation, but I depend on God in the middle of the crazy. How many of y'all had a crazy situation to come up in your life, and you trying to figure out how did this happen? Why did this happen? How could God let it happen? Where is the Holy Ghost? Where is all of this thing? I've been doing all I know to do to please you and hear this stuff happen right there, if you ever been there. But I don't focus on the circumstance no more. I don't focus on the fiery furnace. When I'm in a fire, I'm looking for the fourth man. I'm looking to make sure that he is there. And thank God he's giving me a little break. But they that live godly shall suffer persecution. I don't know where y'all get this thing that life's just supposed to be peachy king and floating on a cloud and drinking some Coke. Like that's what heaven's going to be like. He's preparing you for that right now. And I'm prepared for it. It's helped me to be delivered from people and helped me to be delivered from this religious circus where we're just blowing smoke in people's ears. And it's like, it's not even real. And we walk around sanctimonious with our heads held high in pride. And then we go to church like, you know, let's see who's going to be there. Let's have this big lineup and let's have a big show. And, you know, since we failed in the world, maybe we can be successful in the church. It's crap, man. I traveled over 8 million miles. I'm getting ready to travel 10 million miles. Until the world gets that Jesus is grace, who does not need you to make any contribution to the gifts that he give towards men. None. Now, people who have never been in church, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You're like, what's up? People who just got saved and you didn't have a chance to go through the deception of religion and church, you probably sitting up here like, you know, those who grew up in the church, I don't even know what you're talking about, Pastor. I always learned this. But those of us who, it's just, and you know, there's a price to pay when you talk like this. You lose friends and all that kind of stuff. That's why I got made Jesus my friend.
You remember that old song, Jesus is my only friend. Listen, God can, the easiest thing in the world, God can bring new people in your life. Somebody won't have anything to do, they're just going to miss out on a great person, great friend. But what I'm not going to do is go to heaven and have to give an explanation of why I allowed people bondage to stop me from being led of the Holy Spirit in simplicity and understanding. Whew, glad I got that out. Now look at this, Colossians 1:13. This is fascinating. This is really helping you to get delivered from yourself and start recognizing where God is in your life. Notice, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. He hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Hath, past tense, done it. So look what he says. He's delivered us from the power of darkness already. He has taken out of the world and placed us into the realm of the Son of God already. When I got born again, he took me out of the world, not out of the earth, but he took me out of this world system and placed me into the realm of the Son of God. Now look at John 17, verse 11 and 14. John 17, 11 and 14. If we're going to get the truth, we got to stick with the word, and we got to stick with it in context, and we got to learn how to rightly divide it. Or you can just come to church every Sunday, and I'll just preach what you already know. I'll just preach what you already know. And you won't grow, because I'm just preaching what you already know. Verse 11, he says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Jesus says, I'm no longer of this world. Look at verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. Are you willing to be hated by the world for the word's sake? I don't expect for anybody to call me to give me some prestigious award because I tell too much of the truth. For a long time, I was, you know, the controversial Pastor Creflo Dollar. I don't care. I don't expect to be anything else because truth is controversy. If a lady who's 400 pounds, if you say, you're fat, that's controversy. It's the truth, but it's still controversy. Truth is controversy. And there are not a lot of people who want to deal with truth. And then they'll cancel you because you don't deal with their truth. I'm getting ready to produce something this very raw. My feelings about church and politics, racism in the country, messed up history, abortion. I'm going to deal with all of that from my heart. But they can't play it until I leave. Because it's too much. People can't handle that kind of truth. You keep trying to violate my most basic right as a human, and that is, I have a right, the Bible says, choose life or death. And you keep trying to legislate stuff you're not supposed to be legislating. God said, I'll take care of all of that. I'm gonna take care of every bit of that. I got that, but you try to get it. Like God ain't got it. You try to get it. God take care of all of it. But I don't like the way that person living. God, he took care of you, didn't he?
Is there a difference between who God says you are and what you see in yourself every day? Creflo Dollar uncovers how God works to line up your stance and your state in his series, When Will I Be What God Says I Am? All four messages of this revealing series can be yours today for a love gift of $25 for CDs, $35 for DVDs. Get yours by calling the number on your screen, scanning the QR code, or visiting CreflodollarMinistries.org today.
Change Experience 2023 is coming to your city. Join Creflo Dollar in Miami, May 19th, and in Charlotte, June 9th. Unite with the World Changers Nation and get Psalm 91 equipped live. Experience meaningful worship and the life-changing message of grace. This is a revival like none other. Seating is limited. Register now. Text CHANGE 2023 to 51555. Scan the QR code or visit CreflodollarMinistries.org.
The Bible teaches us to give generously with a cheerful heart, not out of necessity, but out of a cheerful heart. And that's why I'm so grateful for the friends and partners of this ministry who freely and cheerfully give financial offerings to support us. You understand our vision. You know that when people understand grace, they're empowered to change their lives for the better. Thank you for supporting us with your financial donations. And every time you give, you're being used by God to stop misfortune in someone else's life. And for that, we say thank you. God bless you.
If you want to honor the Lord by sowing financial seeds into Creflo Dollar Ministries, call the number on your screen or log on to CreflodollarMinistries.org.
You can interact with Creflo Dollar Ministries anytime, anywhere. All of this is at your fingertips with our state-of-the-art custom-designed app. With the broadcast feature, you can access your favorite messages, sermon series, and more. Add events to your calendar, set reminders, get directions, share with friends, and even give securely through this platform. Visit CreflodollarMinistries.org/app or text APP to 51555 today.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.